VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the Internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a number of issues to present to you today, including the military mandate to receive the shots. We're going to talk about the federal department and agencies that are changing rules for the purpose of tracking federal employees who are seeking exemptions. We'll be addressing the terrorism threat issued from the Department of Homeland Security on those who are exercising their free speech rights, whom the government believes are giving misinformation or disinformation or malinformation that they believe undermines public trust in the government institutions. We'll also be discussing the coming pick by the president for the U.S. Supreme Court, the coming vacancy, and the relentless attacks on Clarence Thomas and other issues today in the program. So stay tuned as we welcome back Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel, a constitutional attorney, over 300 published legal opinions, has authored 8 scholarly law reviews. He's filed numerous briefs, federal and state court. He's argued landmark cases before the U.S. Supreme Court, appearing there just last month. And Matt, so good to have you back with us here today.
Thank you, Jim. It's good to be with you.
So we've got a lot to unpack today, but I'd like to begin with your trip to federal court this past Thursday, a case known as Navy SEAL 1 versus Biden. If you could, again, just briefly summarize what the purpose of last Thursday's hearing was and what was the result.
Well, the purpose was to extend the injunction that we got on February the 2nd. We got it on the evening of February 2nd on behalf of Lieutenant Colonel in the Marines and then also a commander of a surface warfare ship in the United States Navy. Both of them were scheduled to be disciplined. That would be irrevocable, irreparable kind of discipline on February 2 and 3. The judge issued a temporary restraining order blocking the military from doing any action against them after their appeals for religious exemption were denied just in the nick of time. So we had to return to court on February 10 last week. And during that time that we were in court, we were there for 9 hours. Both of these individuals, stellar individuals, testified in open court with regards to the situation, at the end of which the judge extended the injunction until this coming Friday. So it's still in existence until this Friday. Otherwise, it was scheduled to expire on Friday of last week. He extended it a week. In the meantime, he is working on the broader order for the preliminary injunction, not only for the two individuals, but for the rest of the plaintiffs and for the class of individuals in all the branches of the military. And yesterday, Sunday, Judge Stephen Merriday issued an order directing the Navy, Marine Corps, and Air Force to submit documents by this Wednesday. These documents, I think, are very interesting because in here he says he is asking for this information to assist with the pending motions. That's motions that would cover the class, not just these two. And he talks about how that there is a, quote, formidable number of service members, close quote, that would be affected. Well, that's not just the two people, and that's not just the 20-some plaintiffs. That's the 24,000 men and women that have filed these religious exemptions in all these 5 branches of the military. So it really is good, encouraging news that he may well be addressing the entire class, meaning that there could be relief potentially for all the members of the military and all the branches. And he is specifically requesting certain documents, and one of them is very interesting. He wants to have, for those 3 branches that I mentioned, Navy, Marines, and Air Force, he wants them to produce the last 25 most recent denials after appeal and the underlying denial and the initial request. Now, why would he want to do that? Well, because what ultimately we argued is that this is happening as a rubber stamp. They're rubber stamping these denials across the board. They're not individually assessing. They're not individually taking into consideration other ways that they can provide opportunity for these individuals to continue. They are not presenting evidence that this is the only least restrictive means available for them to protect the military. In fact, we know that there's other means available. Why? Because every one of the branches of the military, and this is what happened in court when they testified, they have these risk assessment plans. They not only have operated through COVID, before the shots were available, after the shots were available, before the mandates, after the mandates. They've been operating, and they've been able to carry on their mission in the midst of COVID, with or without a mandate, with or without the shots available. So they've been able to do that, right? So why can't they do it now? What magically changed? Is it COVID? No. Is it something else? Yes, it's just a mandate that came down from the Department of Defense on August 24th. And they still are operating right now and carrying on their mission and able to operate the services of all the different branches without having 100% of the people get the shot. So consequently, why can't they continue to do that? That's the question, and that's what he's looking at. And I think what you're going to find is what we already have seen, and that is they're rubber stamping these denials, and they're not doing these individualized assessments. And if they did these individualized assessments, they would lose, the military would lose. Why? Because history shows that they've been able to accommodate individuals before the mandates and even after the mandates without jeopardizing the mission of the military. So I'm very encouraged by this order that happened yesterday. I'm very encouraged by the testimony that happened on Thursday of last week. And you know what, Jim? I was in court on Thursday, and when the commander of this Navy surface warfare ship testified, and one of our attorneys was leading him through the examination. I did some of the opening and closing arguments. He was walking him through the testimony. First time in my career, I had a tear that just started to uncontrollably go down my cheek because of the emotions and the abuse that these people are under. And these are some of the most credible, courageous individuals of integrity that love God and love the country, and they're being abused and they're being pressured in unimaginable ways. And it broke my heart to relive that as he was testifying live on the witness stand.
You know, Matt, it just seems this whole military religious vaccine exemption process is nothing more than a sham, and I think you're bearing that out here. I mean, thousands of requests received by the military or the Marines. I saw one story, only three requests were approved. Thousands by, accommodation requests filed with the Air Force. Only eight religious accommodations were granted, the one story reported. I don't have, that may be near or close to those numbers, but really out of thousands and thousands and thousands, we just have these, few that you can count on your fingers.
Right. And of those three in the Marines, what we know about those, we're investigating the ones, with regards to the Air Force, those three in the Marines. Those had already applied for retirement, and they were already in the process of being processed out for retirement.
Okay.
So those were, by the way, as the door hits you on the way out, here's your religious exemption. But it's worthless because now you're out of the military.
Yeah.
You know, these are not people that are still in the military. These were sham religious exemptions.
It's just appalling to me that, in essence, we have the Department of Defense believing that they're exempt from the First Amendment protections for their military members.
And here's the argument when, once we did all the testimony and I did my closing argument and then they got up to do their closing argument, the judge, before they even allowed to ask anything or say anything, he went on and he said, now look, in your arguments, you're saying that this court doesn't have any jurisdiction, that you can do whatever you want to. He says, look, I don't want to manage the school boards or prisons either more than I want to manage the military. That's the last thing I want to do. But I have a lot of prison cases and a lot of school cases, and there are laws that applies to prisons, and there's laws that applies to the school, and I have to address those. And we have jurisdiction to do so. And there's laws like the Religious Freedom Restoration Act that apply to the military. Are you saying to me that I don't have authority to address the free exercise of religion when Congress specifically passed a law that applies to the branches of the military? Well, the Department of Justice attorney kind of fumbled back. Well, no. But then kind of circled back and said, you know, whatever the military does with these individuals, it's their business, and you don't have any authority. Went back and reiterated that ludicrous argument again, which is dangerous, Jim,
because
they're essentially saying that they're above the law. And the Constitution and the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act, they don't have to abide by it. It's shocking.
Yeah, it is shocking. And then you think it's also shocking that we have the commander-in-chief that is going to such great lengths to target his troops who don't want the shot. I mean, dishonorable discharges. We're talking about, you know, all these punishments like repay your education training. You're going to lose your insurance. You're going to lose your benefits. Your family is going to have to repay this and that. I mean, trying to force members then even to deny their own deeply held religious convictions.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, in that order that the judge granted, the emergency restraining order, at the very end of that order, the judge said that the public has an interest in this issue as well, because we have here what he called skilled, experienced, highly trained, patriotic, courageous, and esteemed members, such as the two moving service members, in whom the public has an immense financial investment and who are not, to say the least, readily replaceable. But amazingly, this young, you know, these people, 24-year Marine veteran, 18-year Navy veteran, they're willing to toss them out. No matter how highly skilled they are, and they're very highly skilled and very decorated, simply because they want to exercise their free exercise of religion, and they don't want to inject their body with a shot that has any association with aborted fetal cells.
Mm-hmm.
It's astounding.
It is astounding. And there's another aspect to this too, Matt. And I saw Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. He's been such a one who's invested interest in this. He has pressed now Defense Secretary Austin, based on reports from the DOD whistleblowers about injuries to servicemen and women potentially related to the COVID-19 shots. And tomorrow, February 15th, he was requesting a response by then of any increases like in medical conditions compared to the last five-year average, any diagnosis of myocarditis and those sorts of things. But are we harming members of the military who really didn't want this but are complying?
Well, we're not only seeing that in a report in June. This was published in the Journal of the JAMA, which is a very reputable medical journal, mm-hmm. by military doctors in June of 2021, that there was an increase in pericarditis and myocarditis among men, particularly in the military, from these mRNA shots, Moderna and Pfizer. So they already know that. And that was certainly known by the Biden task force, because one of the people on the task force actually mentioned that report that came out in June of 2021. And we're also seeing this happen with regards to the testimony from our military members. They're seeing it in other military members that are being injured by these shots. And now we also see it in the increase of these ICD codes that was mentioned in the Senator Ron Johnson hearing on January 24 of this year, where the ICD codes are skyrocketing with regards to medical treatment in 2021 compared to medical treatment over the previous 5 years of these individuals in the military.
Matt Stavers with us here today on Crosstalk. We've got a break upcoming here, but just in federal court, continue to be praying, folks, on this issue, Navy SEAL 1 versus Biden. And, friends, it doesn't stop there, not just with the military, but when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about the numerous federal agencies that are now tracking religious beliefs of federal employees who are requesting to be exempt from the shot. And it doesn't end there, because we're going to find also from the Department of Homeland Security a bulletin on a terrorism threat to the United States. Who is part of this terrorism threat? Those whom the government perceives is giving misinformation on issues like COVID, or some kind of mistrust in the government. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
To Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, did the Ice Age really happen?
Yes, indeed, Chris. There's a great deal of evidence that the Ice Age really happened. It wasn't long ago. It was at the end of Noah's flood. It probably took several hundred years for the Earth to settle back down into the equilibrium we now experience. That readjustment period was primarily the Ice Age. The real key for the Ice Age is more evaporation from the ocean waters, making huge storms of snowfall possible. But the continents were cold, making the storms violent and prolonged. Also, late in the flood was a time of great volcanism, meaning that the Earth's atmosphere was cloudy and shielded the Earth from the sun. So there was more snowfall, less snow melt, and the ice built up. This would have happened in the centuries following the flood. And that's the flood mentioned back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Tracing, tracking, folks, it's all about control. It really is all about control. Forget the Constitution. Forget your constitutional rights. When we say jump, you ask us how high. Matt, really, that's where things are going with all of this. Matt Staber with us from Liberty Counsel today. Matt, we understand that there are numerous federal agencies that are now tracking the religious beliefs of federal employees, that people who are requesting to be exempt from the shot, that there are agencies, I mean, from the Agriculture Department to whomever, they're actually tracking and tracing employees.
Yeah, there's actually 55 departments and agencies of the federal government, 55 that have come out with 57 total rule changes. Some of those are already in effect because they declared emergencies, like you saw there for OSHA, where they declared emergency and they bypassed the public comment time, so they're already going into effect. A few of them are still out there for public comment. The first one that began was in 2021, and that was with the United States Army. They want to track all of their individuals who have provided these religious exemptions. But let me give you one here for the FEC, the Federal Elections Commission. So this is just one of the 55. And this particular one can actually include a pastor, a priest, a rabbi. They can have their details included in the federal database for providing spiritual guidance to one or more people who, quote, participate in FEC programs or activities. So this is not just tracking the employees of the Federal Elections Commission. It could also be tracking if they submit, for example, a religious exemption request and they have information regarding their pastor or their clergy or their denomination or their spiritual beliefs or guidance. It not only includes forms and correspondence, but, quote, records of oral conversations, close quote, supporting notes and documentation associated with an informal dispute resolution or an appeal, for example, of your denial or your religious exemption. And shockingly, the FEC plans to keep in people's files, quote, information that is obtained directly or indirectly from an individual's religious or spiritual advisors or institutions. So if the clergy writes a letter vouching and or supporting your sincere religious beliefs, or if they go do some research or somebody tells them about that particular religious or spiritual counsel or denominational or doctrinal belief, all that goes into this permanent record, and it is going to be permanently stored in the National Archives. And this is pretty consistent across all these 55 agencies. Now, the interesting thing, too, is it doesn't apply just to employees. In the FEC case, it can apply to students, interns, and guests that come to their building or that visit, for example, an FEC event. So if the FEC or, say, the USDA, for example, is doing an event, then that would include those individuals. So the USDA has the students, the interns, the people that visit the building, and the people, in fact, that come to one of its events. So if the USDA has an agricultural event and you come there and you request a religious exemption because they require it, all of that's going to be created as part of this permanent National Archives database. So you have to ask yourself, why do they need this? And, in fact, the FEC says that the information that they collect can be used to determine potential violations of the law, and that any agent may take that information and share it with federal, state, local, foreign, and tribal governments for prosecution. So what happens if you are traveling to Washington, D.C.? Say, for example, you go into a restaurant. Washington, D.C. has this proof of vaccination status. They're going to remove that later this month or into March. But right now you go into a restaurant, a gym, something like that, you have to show proof of vaccination status. Is that breaking the law if you go in there without actual proof of vaccination status? And will they be sharing that information that so-and-so has just traveled to Washington, D.C. or some other place and they don't have proof of vaccination because they are a religious objector? You have to ask yourself, Jim, why do 55 government departments and agencies want to track individuals, religious exemption. Why do they want to keep a permanent record of this and store them in the National Archives? There is no good reason to answer that question.
You know, there really isn't, and I see, was it Ralph Norman of South Carolina? He's introduced legislation, the Religious Freedom Over Mandates Act.
That's right.
H.R. 6502. I mean, whether, you know, the doubt that this would go anywhere in Nancy Pelosi's house, but the fact that there are those congressmen that are awake to what's going on here, and this tracking is ridiculous. I see also we want to get to this terrorism advisory bulletin that came from Department of Homeland Security about this terrorism threat to the U.S. homeland. And I've got a copy in my hand here. It says the U.S. remains in a heightened threat environment fueled by several factors, including an online environment filled with false or misleading narratives and conspiracy theories and other forms of mis, dis, and malinformation. They're calling it MDM. And they go on to talk about the key factors that contribute to this, and they mention the proliferation of false or misleading narratives which sow discord or undermine public trust in U.S. government. And then they give an example, widespread online proliferation of false or misleading narratives regarding unsubstantiated widespread election fraud and COVID-19. Matt, this is the Department of Homeland Security saying that those who are giving what they believe is misinformation, which is anybody that doesn't agree with Dr. Fauci, that they are a security threat to the United States homeland.
Yeah. So if you are someone who is, what they say, presenting false or misleading narratives that sow discord to undermine public trust in one of the U.S. government institutions, you are on the threat list. So does that mean that when the CDC changes its mind on social distancing or quarantining and they go back and forth and there seems to be no basis for their decisions, and when Fauci changes his mind every other day about whatever he's going to say about COVID and you criticize that, is that undermining one of the U.S. institutions because you're not just going to be a robot and follow it? It seems so. It also says, interestingly, it says, as COVID-19 restrictions continue to decrease nationwide, increased access to commercial and government facilities and the rising number of mass gatherings could provide increased opportunities for individuals looking to commit acts of violence to do so, often with little or no warning. Meanwhile, COVID-19 mitigation measures, I'm continuing to quote, particularly COVID-19 vaccine and mask mandates, and it goes on, while these have been used to commit violent extremist actions, or if you question whether or not the election of 2020 was accurate, whether there was election fraud, all of that is lumped in here. So if you protest, if you're a mom and you go to a school board and you're protesting to the school board the masking requirements on your child, does that all of a sudden make you a threat to the United States? It appears so. If you're criticizing the COVID-19 mandates, the shots, like, say, in Washington, D.C. or some other place, does that make you a threat? Apparently so. And then they also say, which is very odd, Jim, as the restrictions start to decrease, then you could have more mass gatherings. Well, in other words, you mean as we go back to normal and we operate under the Constitution where you can gather in public places and in public parts? Yeah, that's what they're referring to. Well, then you could have more mass gatherings that could also create increased opportunities for criminal acts. Well, first of all, I've never seen criminal acts done where people were protesting COVID-19 mandates or masking mandates. I've seen people upset. I've seen people protest. But I've never seen burning. I've never seen violence regarding that.
That was Black Lives Matter and everything else.
Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
The drug cartels that are coming in over the open borders. The Antifa. Not a single word's mentioned about that.
Folks, and this is the bulletin that came out from the Department of Homeland Security 1 week ago today, February 7th. It is outrageous, but keep in mind who is being targeted by this. I mean, anybody who would disagree with Dr. Fauci, and look how many times he has contradicted himself since this all began. Truly amazing. Matt, there's so many other things here going on. The COMPETES Act passed the House of Representatives, H.R. 4521. This is issuing the American economy compete with nations like China. They have the Build Back Better in this critical race theory, climate change, Equality Act language to promote LGBT ideology. All of that passed through the COMPETES Act in the House of Representatives. 221 Democrats, one Republican voted for that legislation.
Yes, and of course, then that battle will now go over to the U.S. Senate, where we have been able to stop a lot of this nonsense and very anti-American destructive bills that have been coming out of the Pelosi-led House of Democrats there that are the majority in the House. So that'll be a battle that we will take up. Obviously, in the Senate, we've been able to stop a lot of these things, like the election fraud bills that were coming out of the House into the Senate. So far, the Build Back Better Act, we've been able to stop that for now. In the U.S. Senate, we have to still obviously be very vigilant about that. And this is another battle that we'll have to be focused on in the Senate. And that's why, obviously, the midterms are so critically important,
mm-hmm.
to be able to make sure that you have people that are not going to pass legislation that undermine the welfare and the security and the well-being of the United States of America.
Matt, just moments ago, I had walked into the studio here. Sandy here had found kind of a breaking news issue going on. This came from Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, Ed Martin. Over 30 House Democrats, led by Representative Al Green, have introduced a new bill to declare unconditional war on racism and establish a new cabinet-level Department of Reconciliation that will be charged with eliminating racism and discrimination here as well, to the tune of a $7 billion annual budget. It is House Res 919, House Resolution 919, that would seek to combat racism through the federal oversight of every facet of American life, from criminal justice to housing to banking to health care to elections and beyond. Just breaking news happening here, Matt.
Yeah, it's certainly breaking news. I mean, we have so many threats, Jim, that we're seeing right now to our faith and our freedom and the well-being of this country. But, you know, we just have to maintain vigilance and not
yes.
get discouraged, because we've been able to stop a lot of this insidious assaults on America and our freedom. And we just have to be aware and pray and act.
Matt Staver with us from Liberty Council, their website, lc.org. We're just a minute to the break, and I want to introduce another topic here, and we'll cover it more after the break. But Matt, it's the Supreme Court. Justice Breyer going to be stepping down after this term. The Biden administration carrying through on their promise to appoint a black woman to the court. I have never seen the announcement based upon the gender of an individual or a skin tone of a candidate. Rather, it's always been a person who's best qualified. I mean, is this a new way of nominating a Supreme Court justice?
Well, it's really odd, because, you know, now you're looking at not only gender but race. And it really doesn't look good that you're not looking at somebody based upon the content of their character, as Martin Luther King Jr. would say, but on the color of their skin and also their gender. So he's combining both gender as well as race in terms of his pick. And what you really need to be looking at is who is the best qualified, whether they're man or woman, whether they're whatever their race may be, who is best qualified as the next candidate to serve on the United States Supreme Court.
We're going to pick up with this opening, this upcoming vacancy on the court in just a moment. Matt Staver with us from Liberty Council. Again, their website is lc.org, lc.org. We'll be right back.
Do you find yourself guilty of committing the same sin over and over again? You confess it, but you find yourself repeating it again. The Bible tells us that we are to mortify or put to death the deeds of the flesh. For believers, this becomes a daily challenge as the internal struggles ensue. Sadly, many fall into repeating patterns of sin and struggle sincerely with knowing how to break free. In the book, Killing Sin Habits, author Stuart Scott addresses the repetitive nature and pattern of sin and the hindrances that keep people from overcoming their sinful habits. He also provides practical insight as to how God, through the work of the Holy Spirit and radical faith, can help you have victory over sin in your life. He addresses the issue of genuine repentance and provides a detailed battle plan for killing sin habits in our lives. The booklet, Killing Sin Habits, is available for a donation of $12 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Constitutional attorney, founder, and chairman of Liberty Counsel, Matt Staver, with us here today on the program. Their website is lc.org, lc.org, and the phone number to Liberty Counsel, 407-875-1776. Folks, you go to their website, and it's just amazing. I mean, all of these issues we're talking about, you're going to find links here and there. And I know, Matt, you've got a lot dealing with here just on the max or the forced shots and the mandates and so forth. I believe it's lc.org/vaccine.
Yes, lc.org/vaccine.
And lots of information there. Matt, as we're talking about the Supreme Court, there was a lot of pressure placed upon Justice Breyer to step down. Many wanted him to do it at the end of this last term so that President Biden could make his pick. It's unknown what the future of the Senate makeup is going to be, but it is likely going to move out of Democratic control here at the end of this next this upcoming election cycle. But this is a very significant vacancy once again, and I know Jen Psaki was asked last week to answer questions about if you know, is there a test for Roe v. Wade in this, and she said we're not going to comment at this time about any litmus test, but this is exactly the type of individual that President Biden is going to move forward.
Oh, there's no question about that. You know, and if you go back to Ginsburg, Ginsburg wanted to step down during Hillary Clinton's presidency and have her position filled by the first female president of the United States. Well, obviously, Hillary was surprised and mistaken, and so was, I think, the number two most disappointed person besides Hillary Clinton was Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And when she realized that Donald Trump had won the presidency, she was going to try to make it through the next 4 years. And obviously, we know that she succumbed to her illness. And obviously, President Trump got to nominate that position. So Democrats were really pressuring Biden and certainly Justice Breyer, I'm sure, to step down through various channels so that that wouldn't happen again. Because you're right, once this midterm comes up in November, I think there will be a change in the United States Senate based upon all the things that we're seeing, and the Democrats likely will not control the Senate and probably won't control the House either. But for purposes of nomination and confirmation purposes, it's the Senate that's critical. And so with that, I think that's why he decided to step down, and that position will be replaced. Now, on the one hand, it's not going to, in most cases, it's not going to change the opinions of the court, because Breyer's on more of the liberal wing, of course. But take, for example, the ministerial exception case that came down. That was a 9-0 decision. The Obama administration was pushing this to ultimately the Biden administration was pushing this, and the other previous administrations were pushing against this to ultimately basically do away with the ministerial exception. In other words, no longer protect churches and having their ability and autonomy to determine who is going to be their ministers or their teachers, but to allow the government to interfere with that. That would be very dangerous. And that was a 9-0 decision to uphold the ministerial exception, 9-0, including Breyer. One of the candidates that is under consideration argued for the opposite side to do away with it. So in that kind of a situation, that would make that position even more radical and more liberal and more, frankly, unconstitutional. Because even Breyer was part of that 9-0 decision, whereas the other person was, and even Kagan made a remark and said that she was surprised and stunned by the administration's and the attorney's position as they articulated that argument before the high court.
Matt, at the same time, and I know that nominee is going to be coming forward soon, the pick by Mr. Biden, But at the same time, we are seeing a continued attack taking place on Clarence Thomas or on his wife. I mean, this is outrageous what continues on with him.
Yeah, because they're wanting Clarence Thomas to step down. They're wanting him to at least at a minimum be recused from these important cases. And, of course, Clarence Thomas is a highly qualified jurist, a man of integrity, a man of faith, and they are relentlessly attacking him. Obviously, they relentlessly attacked him early on when he was going through the confirmation
mm-hmm.
process.
Mm-hmm.
And they, unfortunately for them and fortunately for us and for the people of the United States, they weren't successful, and he's on the bench. He's the longest-serving justice on the bench, and he's a great jurist, a great thinker, and a great person. But they're coming after him, particularly coming after his wife. And through his wife, they are, because of her statements on various kinds of political things, they are trying to get him to, at a minimum, be removed from consideration on some of these really critical cases. And that attack is going to, I think, increase as time goes on.
Our phone number to Crosstalk here today, 800-733-9829. We've covered numerous issues here, 800-733-9829. Your question or brief comment here to Matt Staver at Liberty Counsel. While you're calling, Matt, we've got to mention as well this individual by the name of Sam Brinton, chosen by President Biden to be his Deputy Assistant Secretary of Spent Fuel and Waste Disposition for the U.S. Department of Energy Office of Nuclear Energy. But the thing that is so, in my book here, just so outrageous, I mean, it's reported he's an active member of the Washington, D.C. chapter of a drag queen society known as the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. And there's photos on social media displaying his fondness for something called pup play, a sexual role-playing game. And I'm not going to go into detail, but, I mean, going back to 2016, discussing this fetish in detail and just the depravity of mind is just how can such an appointment be made here? I mean, the resume of this individual is such that one really questions even, you know, being appointed to such a position.
I am astounded. I mean, this really shows the depths of evil of this administration to even select somebody like Sam Brinton. This guy was former director of the Trevor Project, which is a propaganda pro-LGBTQ organization that goes in and they come up with these fake stories about people who have been supposedly harmed during counseling for change, and they try to oppose all these change council laws, or support them, I should say, these ones that ban change council. But I have seen things that I'd never wanted to see, just reading stories about him and seeing his own statements regarding this, what you just talked about. It is horrible. It's just unbelievable, where you have handlers and somebody pretends to be a puppet. It's just ridiculous, unbelievable, disgraceful things. But he also has advocated violence against women. And, there's a video out there that shows a woman who he beat with a rod and caused black and blue marks, and he was advocating that and apparently supportive of it, according to this video and somebody who out there was opposing it. And the fact is that even if he has allegations like that, how could Biden administration even think about selecting somebody of this nature that is so far out of the mainstream and so far out there on this bondage and all these other sexual deviant acts that he's promoting? How could in the world would he select somebody like that? It goes to show you the depths of the bankruptcy,
yes,
the moral bankruptcy of Joe Biden and his administration.
Matt Staver with us here today. Friends, our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. West Dallas, Wisconsin, Brad, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. Again, I'm going to nail this one. Our servicemen shouldn't be submitting requests for rights they already have. At most, they should be invoking their rights, and that should be the end of it. Otherwise, it diminishes those rights and gives the opposition the idea that they have a say in it when they really do not. And why are senators and congressmen and the administration and criminal aliens, for that matter, exempt from this shot, but our military servicemen aren't? That's crazy.
Well, you know, I agree with you in part, but obviously you can't just sit there and not invoke your rights. Paul invoked his rights as a Roman citizen when he was beaten. And he exercised his rights, and it was those invocations of his civil rights that ultimately got him to Rome, where his place where he wanted to be to spread the gospel. You have the rights that are granted, and I don't say granted, I mean they are recognized as unalienable rights under the First Amendment. Well, when those are violated, what do? You defend those, and you go to court and defend those. When these are violated, like in the military, what do? You defend those as well. So, and that's what they're doing. So these are incredible men and women. I think we agree on that, certainly. We all agree. These are honorable people that should never be placed in a situation where the Constitution that they have given their lives to defend is being denied them.
Yeah. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And appreciate your call here today. And Brad brought up another great point here, Matt. I hope this mandate is being placed upon him, but members of Congress are exempt?
Yeah, yeah.
Illegal aliens are exempt?
Yeah, and you know where the exemption from the members of Congress came from? It came from Nancy Pelosi. She's the one who actually implored Biden to be able to exempt the staff members in Congress because some of her staff members didn't want to get these shots. But, yeah, then they're pushing it on everybody else. And then the illegal aliens, they're coming over the border, and they don't have to get the shots. Yeah. But our men and women in the military, commander of a Navy warship who launches Tomahawk missiles and torpedoes that go up in the air and come down into water, and they search for torpedoes under the water that have anti-aircraft missiles, that kind of person who's reached that kind of caliber, they say, get the shot or get out.
Wow. Wow. Let's go next to Jim from Warrens. You're on the air, Jim.
Yes, I'd like to make a statement. Usually it's a good time for Christians to share Ephesians chapter 6, and I tell people, you know, when supposedly smart people in Washington want to destroy our country, we can see we're in a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
But we got to keep our eyes on Jesus and read the Word and know that we're winners in the end, no matter what.
Hmm. Amen. Thank you, Jim. And Matt, you fully recognize this is a spiritual battle.
Well, absolutely. It certainly is a spiritual battle. And certainly we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and darkness in high places.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Thank you for the call. Bruce is next. Go ahead, Bruce.
Hello, fellas. First of all, I want to compliment Matt. Every time I listen, he tells everyone how important prayer is.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, it's an incredible tool that people don't use as often as they can. Number two, I want to encourage Matt, and I want to encourage Matt just by being on the front lines. I also want to challenge the rest of the so-called or real-life Christians. Skip a fish fry. Skip a date night. Skip a meal, whatever it takes, $5, $10, support Liberty Council. They are on the front lines of this spiritual battle, and it takes money.
Mm-hmm.
And I just challenge the rest of the listeners to send something and send it with a prayer.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you. Thank you kindly, fellas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your kind words. And, you know, speaking of prayer, I was communicating to one of the members of our military about praying for the people that were in court last week and other military, and they said we've got their backs covered. They have 1,200 people that were praying for.
Wow.
1,200 people in the military praying, and I know we have thousands and thousands praying.
Amen.
It is so critical.
Friends, our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Well, it's making national news with many because recently Joe Biden appointed as Deputy Assistant Secretary for Spent Fuel and Waste Disposition in the Office of Nuclear Energy in the Department of Energy, young man known as Sam Brenton. Well, he is promoting the LGBTQ lifestyle and, according to reports and pictures, often dresses as a drag queen. He goes on to talk about things that, frankly, you don't want to know about, and we're not talking about on Christian radio. What does all this tell us? It tells us Romans 1 is coming to pass. God reveals in his word that when he gives over a nation, you see the flourishing of certain things. the worship of nature. Aren't we seeing that? Pantheism, all is God. Pantheism, God is in all, the worship of nature. And one of the other things you see is the mainstreaming of the homosexual lifestyle, perversion beyond belief. Now is the time to repent. I'm Brandon House for the Worldview Report.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Constitutional Attorney Matt Staver with us from Liberty Counsel. Their website, lc.org. LC, that stands for Liberty Counsel, lc.org. And their number there to their offices, 407-875-1776. Let's go to David calling from Hillsboro, Illinois. David, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Matt, Daily Clout website has posted two proposed Illinois House bills. One is the Immunizations Data Registry Act. That would be House Bill 4244, submitted by Bob, Representative Bob Morgan. And that would be to that pharmacists and physicians shall provide, rather than may provide, shall provide immunization data to be entered into the Immunization Data Registry. And also that information that the health care provider shall report immunization data to the Department of Public Health. So that just kind of steps up things for required reporting of immunization data. If I go to the doctor and I'm not vaccinated, they shall, they're required to report that. The other bill is House Bill 4640. Submitted by Representative Deborah Conroy, and that one is access to public health data, and that provides that a person, facility, institution, or agency providing information under the provisions may withhold a patient's mental or behavioral health history. It amends the Vital Records Act, provides that no rule adopted by the Department of Public Health shall be construed as restraining access to vital records. Anyway,
can you send that information to us? We'd like to definitely look at it. I was not aware of those bills in Illinois, but those are certainly very concerning.
Okay, you want me to email those to you or just tell you what they are?
Email those to liberty@lc.org, liberty@lc.org.
Gotcha, will do.
Great. Thank you, David. Appreciate that information. Lisa's calling from Arizona. Lisa, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Matt. Here's my question. Targeting the military with the mandates, you know, the vaccines, and then even the Christian religious exemption database, isn't this just like a larger plot of the Biden regime to destroy America, like from within?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, what we're seeing in the military and even in the other private sector mandates that Biden imposed, but let's take the military. It's really purging. First of all, it's identifying those who have strong religious beliefs and those that are not willing to compromise those beliefs. And then it's trying to purge those people from the military if they will not comply. It's trying to find those two people like in Daniel, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that won't bow down, that have strong religious convictions, and then throw them in the fiery furnace, if you will. Well, you know, it didn't work very well for Nebuchadnezzar. And then it's not going to work very well for Biden. But that's exactly what's happening. And then you have this database of all 55 agencies. All of this, remember, came out under the Biden timeframe after January of 2021. And 55 agencies and departments with 57 rules, all of them doing the same thing, creating lists of people that are religious. Look what happened in Hitler's time. Remember IBM? What were they doing? IBM was retained by Hitler to first identify the Jews. And once they identified them, they were able to then isolate them and put them in ghettos, and you know the rest of the story.
Hmm.
Right, but additionally, for the military, isn't it also, though, since the shots are have such adverse reactions, it's physically making them sick as well.
Yeah, it is. It's
so
physically making
saying,
them
it's
sick.
Like how,
it's also
how
making them more
be
susceptible
able to
other diseases and injuries.
Yeah, so how will they be able to defend us?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. So even those that take it and willingly or under duress, you have other physical adverse consequences to it. You have people that have died, you have people that are injured, and you have other long-term consequences. And we see from the ICD codes an increase in miscarriages, an increase in neurological conditions, like 1,000% increase in neurological conditions in 2021 compared to the previous 5 years.
Thank you, Lisa, for the call. We're going to squeeze one last call in from Parma, Idaho. Marianne, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I am just curious. I'm retired from the military. My husband's a veteran. And with all of the stuff that's going on with the military, I'm concerned that this may affect my military benefits if I don't take the jab. Is there any rumblings about insisting that veterans take this jab to receive their benefits?
Not yet per se, but I wouldn't doubt that that would be a battle we have to deal with. Certainly, there have been rumblings about whether you could visit a VA hospital without the jab, or certainly, like, if your husband is military or and the spouse or the vice versa is in the military, they have VA benefits, and you want to go to the VA hospital with them for an evaluation or admission, that you may have to take the jab. So those are issues that have already started to come down the pipe, and we're having to deal with those. So not yet on military veterans that have benefits, but, you know, we'll monitor that, and I wouldn't put it past this administration at all.
That's what I'm afraid of. I don't trust this administration for what they're doing, and I just feel bad for all of the vets that, and all of active duty who I know what they went through as active duty and what they're going through right now. So I just keep praying for everybody and praying for the work that you all are doing. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marianne. Appreciate your call here today. Matt, we're talking about this spiritual battle going on, and we're going back to the Phoenix area right now because the Satanic Temple just held what they called SatanCon. This was a three-day event of raising children in a satanic household, abortion of religious right, devil's food, Darwin versus the Lord of Lies, raising children in a satanic household, and after-school Satan Club. That's to kind of compete with the CEF and so forth. Evidently, they were denied giving an invocation there before city council members and holding this conference kind of as in your face to the they're in the Phoenix area there. But as we said, this is a spiritual battle that's going on, and but we need to be sober, be vigilant. Our adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
Absolutely. And, you know, never forget that God is in control.
Amen.
And that despite the most dark times in history, when it looked it was impossible, in fact, it was impossible for the Jews, for example, in Egypt and Esther in Persia and Daniel in the lion's den and the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace, God intervened.
Yeah.
And God is the same God yesterday, today, and today, and he will intervene. He needs, he's just looking for people to take what is an adversity into an opportunity, and he will do it in our generation, I believe.
Amen. Just looking for one to stand in the gap. Matt Staver from Liberty Council, lc.org is the website. Matt, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be with you.
And, friend, let's continue to be certainly in prayer for our nation and be in prayer for Liberty Council and the many issues that they're fighting on behalf of this nation. God bless you, folks. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.